Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, looking tonight at the gift. John chapter 4. Hey, and Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Well, the gift of God is Jesus. John 3:16, God gave his son for us. And that fact kind of gets lost, doesn't it? We were out witnessing, and at one yard, they had, I couldn't tell you how many Santa Clauses, but I couldn't think of one thing I saw that was religious in nature. It was all the commercial side of Christmas. They forget about the gift. Can you imagine what it would be like if it was your birthday and everyone else exchanged gifts but no one gave a gift to you? You'd think, what's going on here? Whose birthday is it? But that's basically what happens every Christmas in many places. They forget about the Lord Jesus, and it's just a time to give gifts to one another. The word gift, singular, appears 52 times in the Bible. I thought that was unique. I thought 52 weeks of the year, the word gift, singular, appears 52 times. I thought, well, the Lord has a gift for every week of the year. That was my thought when I thought about that. But then I thought, well, I better look up the other forms of the word too, because maybe that'll throw it all off. So I looked up the word gifts, plural. Guess how many times the word gifts, plural, appears in the Bible? 52. Did you look it up before you came? Or who said it? Oh, Brother Jim, okay. I guess it echoed around that way. Okay. 52. Did you know that, or were you guessing? Yes. Okay. 52. I thought, wait a minute. In that first list, did it just include gift and gifts? And am I just, you know, seeing the same list again? So I went back and forth. Oh, the word gift, singular, appears 52 times in the Bible, and the word gifts, plural, appears 52 times in the Bible, just the exact same amount. I thought, well, that's pretty amazing. So you know what it made me think of is that God not only has a gift for us every week, but he has gifts, plural, for us, because we need his help, don't we, at all times. Notice in Lamentations chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. Now, Lamentations is a book God used Jeremiah to write, and Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, and people wouldn't listen to him. It's kind of like, well, I'm just finishing up the book of Jeremiah right now in my Bible reading, and it reminds me so much of America. They would not listen to Jeremiah. And the last king there before they got conquered was Zedekiah, and he just would not listen. He would not listen to Jeremiah, and it's like America. But in Lamentations 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's what? mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every what? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So the word gift doesn't just appear 52 times. The word gifts, plural, appears 52 times as well. So it's not just one day of the week, because we need God every day of the week, don't we? We need him every morning. And they're new. His mercies are new, plural, every morning. But it's not just every day one gift. We need him every hour, don't we? In Daniel chapter 3, we need God's mercies every hour of the day. We never know what is going to happen. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 5. It seems like so many of our missionaries have faced very serious illnesses in recent days. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 5. That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same, what? Hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now in our country, we often lament the fact that sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Many times people that are on death row, it's like 10 years or more before it even gets brought around. But this here, the death penalty was going to be in an hour. I mean, within an hour, if you didn't do. It said the same hour shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Can you imagine that type of justice? Wow, that would be quick, wouldn't it? If someone goes out and murders someone and they gather the proof and within 1 hour the murderer is dead, well, that probably would deter murderers, no doubt about it. So what would happen to these young men? Well, you look in verse 14, Daniel 3, 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, wow. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast, what? The same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So once again, he emphasized, it's going to be the same hour. You're not going to have any chance to appeal. Can you imagine that? Being accused of a crime and you say, wait a minute, I can't even get my lawyer here in 1 hour. Can't you give me a little time? Nope, 1 hour, within an hour. If you don't do this, you're going to be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So, you know, God tells us he'll help us in the day of our trouble. Look at Psalm 50, 15. Psalm 50, 15. He'll help us in the day of our trouble. Can he help us in the same hour? Psalm 50, 15. And call upon me in the what? The day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Okay, can you give me 24 hours, King? Can you give me at least 24 hours to get someone to defend me? An hour. Notice in Matthew 10, verse 19. Matthew 10, verse 19. What about the hour of trouble? Could you get help within an hour? If you are stranded out on the road, could you get help within an hour? We were stranded, I don't know how many months ago that was, on the road and tried to get a wrecker. And there was no way we could get a wrecker in an hour. We were going to be out there a long time if we waited for a wrecker. And Matthew 10, verse 19. Matthew 10, 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in what? That same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So yes, God can help us in an hour, In the hour of our need, he can help us. Well, let's go back to Daniel chapter 3 and see what happened with these guys. They were warned not once, but twice. If you don't do it, the same hour, you're going to be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Let's look at Daniel 3:16. Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. Now remember, God said, told the disciples, don't premeditate, don't worry about what to say, for it'll be given you in the same hour what you should speak. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So, king, it really doesn't matter if the time is short. It doesn't matter because our God is with us. We don't have to worry about he's got to come a great distance. He's right here with us. So, king, if he wants to deliver us, he can easily do that. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So, did God give them words in the same hour? Yes, he did. Just like with the disciples, he promised to in that hour. That was no problem, that part of it. So the test was on. Look in verse 19. What happens? You know, the problem is when we read about all these trials that God's people go through, the problem is we know the end of the story. We've read it so many times. We've heard it so many times. So we do not even put ourselves in that spot. And so then we are not prepared for when we face trials, because as these three men said, whether God can deliver us, that's no problem. But even if he doesn't, we're still going to do the right thing. We're not going to fall down and worship your image. So it takes faith, doesn't it? For every trial that we are in, we never know the outcome. We never know whether this trial is going to take our lives or whether we are going to go through this trial and God's going to deliver us. It always takes faith. Well, verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Now, I suppose he thought by just, you know, binding them all up in all these clothes, it's like, you guys are not going to get out of there. You know, I'm not going to have you, you know, just quickly loosening your things and you know, taking off out of there. The furnace was so hot, you didn't have to worry about that. It killed the soldiers that threw them in. Verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, so now he's lost some of the most mighty men in his army in his haste there. Verse 20 told us that. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So now he lost those men. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. You know, isn't it wonderful to not bow to the world and its gods, but to gladly bow before our Heavenly Father, whether it be by life or by death? They fell down bound into the furnace. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So when we respond correctly to trials and put God first, then God has the chance here to show his mighty power to a lost and dying world. And so, well, how did it come out? Well, he told them in verse 26 to come out of the fire. Verse 27, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. I mean, these people were looking them over closely like, how can this be? Are their clothes burnt? Is their hair singed? Wow, I don't see any evidence they were in the fire whatsoever. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges their trust and their faith is in God, and have changed the king's word. Ooh, that's hard for a king to have his word overruled. But he admitted it. They've changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't it be wonderful in America if our leaders would make a law that said anyone that speaks against the Almighty God, judgment's going to fall on them? Wow, that would really be something, wouldn't it? Verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So often the world is afraid to stand up for God because it might lose a promotion. But actually, that's exactly what they got for standing up for God. So the word gift appears 52 times in the Bible. The word gifts, plural, appears 52 times. And that reminds me, God's gifts are unlimited. Notice in Ephesians 3, God's gifts are unlimited. There's no limit to it. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This world is so foolish. Someone was telling me there was a, I don't know if it was a little YouTube video news item, but some parents evidently took their little boy to Santa Claus. And so he asked Santa Claus for a Nerf gun, I think it was. Maybe some of you read the same thing. And Santa declined, I guess because it was a gun. And so the little boy started crying and crying and crying because Santa wouldn't get him a gun. But it's really pathetic, isn't it? How the world looks to Santa Claus instead of God, because God can do, verse 20, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And God could care less about political correctness. He doesn't care what man thinks, like the so-called Santa Claus did. So, you know, God said that he would do something for Israel in Moses' time, and Moses had a hard time believing it. Numbers 11. But God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, even though we can't figure out how he's going to do it. Numbers 11:18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even what? A whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? How many of you like pizza? Okay? How many of you have ever eaten pizza for breakfast? Okay. How many the same day ate it for noon? Okay. How many the same day ate it for supper, too, or dinner? I don't see any hands on that one. Some ate it breakfast and lunch. How many of you think you'd get tired of eating pizza if you ate it for a month for breakfast, lunch, and supper or dinner? Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it'd come out your nose like verse 20 said, but you probably wouldn't want it to, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm sure they were going to get sick of it, but some of them didn't have to worry about that. But verse 21, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Even Moses thought, now Lord, feeding 600,000 men and their families for a whole month, Lord, how are you going to do this? That was no problem with God. Notice in Matthew 14, we see an example of this in the scripture. When God supplies our needs, he's not limited by man. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 15, Matthew 14, 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did what? All eat. And were what? Filled. Now, that's something. Sometimes when you have a family, sometimes it's hard to fill up some eaters. And they get pretty hungry. They were all filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about what? 5,000 men beside women and children. When God supplies our needs, he's not limited to what we have or what man has. God can multiply the resources. Notice with me in Philippians 4, Philippians chapter 4. So as we think about it, in this Christmas season, God has not only a gift, 52 gifts, a gift for a week. God has gifts, plural, enough for multitude of gifts per week, per day, per hour. Philippians 4:19. The Bible says, but my God shall supply what? All your need according to what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I pray that the Lord would help us to be content. You know, there are so many people during this time of the year that want. And God can supply all of our needs. And I just pray that during this time we can keep focus on the true gift of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us. We thank you for your word, just the amazing things we see. Just imagining that the word gift would appear 52 times and in its plural form would appear the exact same number. And Lord, it just reminds us that you are a God of order. You are a God of completeness. There's no week of the year that you are gone vacationing that we can't get a hold of you. There's no day when you're unavailable. There's no time when we have more needs than you can supply. You can always supply. And we thank you most of all for the gift of salvation. And I pray, Father, if there should be any here tonight who have never yet been saved, I pray you'd help them to realize that Jesus is the reason for the season. He is the gift of eternal life. He's God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He was buried and arose victorious from the grave. Father, I pray that no one would leave here without Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, during this Christmas season when man's eyes are focused seemingly only on the material. I pray this would be a season when we could see people receive the greatest gift, the Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.